Speaker Gingrich joins us now. Of course, we're going to talk politics, but I want to talk humor with him as well. Hey, Newt, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I have to confess that what we're seeing are almost pathological rants disguised by comedians who want us to believe it's comedy. But it's almost like they're getting psychotherapy by ranting to their audience.
And it's not funny. It's not entertaining. And you're speaking to such a narrow cast group of Americans where the classic epic comedians of the last 100 years really did cut across all lines. There was always ethnic humor that everyone understood. Now it's politically incorrect. But even that, for the most part, wasn't mean-spirited. It was situational. It was observational. And everyone could laugh at it. It was hilarious. But now it's all mean-spirited, all left-wing, with a few exceptions, all the time. And I mean, that's why so many people are tuning it out.
I think that's right. I think people are tired of anger. And all the left has right now is anger, whether it's violence in Portland, or it is riots on college campuses, or it's comedians ventilating their anger in what's supposed to be a monologue, but is actually just an unending effort to trash the president.
Newt, we have to ask you about this showdown over health care. We're going to also talk about the budget. But it looks like they're still several votes short of some deal. I'm understanding that the ultimate bill that may come out of this, you know, has some decent provisions in it, but that it still isn't going to really do what Republicans wanted to do, which is to fully repeal Obamacare and ultimately bring down prices of health care and inject more market forces into the healthcare system. But what's your take on the holdouts in the GOP? A lot of them are moderates now who are holding out.
Well, I think you've watched sort of a game of ping pong, which I think is partly just the way that they this is so misdesigned as a process that you now have, when you start solving the Freedom Caucus problem, you start losing moderates. When you start fixing the moderate problem, you start losing the Freedom Caucus, and they almost need to erase the board and start over again. And let's take the example of preconditions. The Wall Street Journal did a great job explaining the precondition opportunity in the Republican bill. In fact, it tells you something about the communications failure that the only really good briefing on it is the Wall Street Journal editorial. And I'll bet you that not 20 members of the House can explain it.
Well, I think
this is the kind of process where you have to quietly listen to every member, understand in advance what their concerns are, and try to find a way to answer their concerns. I apologize. I've got allergies.
You have the thing I have, and you keep coughing. Pollen in D.C. is one of the worst seasons ever, and I've never had allergies until this year, maybe last year I had a little. Yeah. Newt, but I'm in the same boat as you, so, you know, cough away.
Oh, I mean,
you and I are in the same.
But from my perspective, you start with, you know, what do we mean by dismantling Obamacare, and what is it the public will not tolerate? Well, the highest value the public has is continuing the ability to not lose your insurance if you have a precondition. It's like a 94-95% issue, because health is life and death. I mean, I try to tell the people, to rush this thing and try to ram it through in the first couple weeks never made any sense, because it is one out of every $5 in the economy. It's a matter of life and death. And in the end, people are going to ask personal questions. You know, what about me? What about my condition? What about my cousin or my niece or my daughter? And if you can't answer them, if your members aren't trained enough to give a positive answer that people can relax, nobody's going to trust Washington. That's one of the great lessons of 2016. If they were going to trust Washington, they would have elected Hillary. And so I think the ox is in the ditch. If they can't get it out of the ditch this week, I think they need to take a deep breath, erase the board, start with the basics, build the coalition back together, and in 3 or 4 weeks, if they have every member involved in the conversation, they will eventually get to a majority. But they can beat their head against the wall all year, and this ping pong that they're playing right now is very hard for me as somebody, as an outsider, but somebody who used to do this for a living. It's hard for me to see how they're going to get to a majority because they've set it up right now so everybody's increasingly suspicious and increasingly unwilling to take risks.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. And Newt, I think most people in middle America who just want to be assured that this administration is going to really make progress, real progress, on the core issues that he campaigned on that were very popular. This is right at the top of the list. And I think it would be really helpful, and I'd love your institutional memory on this, because I was watching an old Reagan speech, I think it was 83, when he was discussing the economy and his plans. He gave an address from the Oval Office, I think it was 83, an address from the Oval Office, and even back then with the rudimentary graphics and stuff, they had charts, like graphics, on-air graphics, a few charts where he explained how we got into this mess and how we were going to get out of it. And it was, I think, 25 minutes long. It was so compelling. And it was a half-hour address to the nation. I think we need that from this White House because I think, you know, people are all over the place. One person saying one thing and another is another thing. There's no message discipline. There's very little message discipline that at least not the type that I would like to see.
Well, that's right. And I think one of the challenges that the president's got to come to grips with is that he's really smart, but the rest of us may not be as smart. And he may be able to keep track of six or seven different topics. We can't. As a country, and this is what Reagan was so, as you know, because you worked with him, he was so disciplined. But I remember one point in 81 when they were trying to pass the Economic Growth Act, the big tax cut, and Jim Baker, as his chief of staff, said to the whole cabinet, if you don't have a speech topic that relates to this bill, don't ask for the president's time. Because the only thing he's going to talk about until the bill passes is this bill. And that was the kind of focused energy that we needed in order to be able to get these things done. And I think that the president is going to have to find a similar pattern, partially because, as you know, you can't negotiate inside Washington. You don't have the leverage for change if all you're doing is negotiating with Congress inside Washington. Reagan's great position, which he said brilliantly in his farewell address, which I was just rereading again this morning, he said, "Yeah, all the victories people claim I won because of you, the American people. It was your phone calls, it was your letters, etc." Reagan understood that if he had the country on his side, they would pressure Congress into being for him. And I think right now this administration does too much insider negotiating and does too little reaching out to the American people, educating the American people, and recruiting the American people.
Well, I think it's an excellent point. How many Republicans do you think are, well, kind of secretly hoping the border wall never gets funded? I mean, you know that Ryan and those...
Probably 20 or 30, but you know, but that's a good example. I was at the White House yesterday talking to some folks. They actually have the money to build the wall in the bill.
What
the Democrats agreed to block out was concrete. And the point they made, and they brought in the director of the budget to make this point to the news media, and you know, just kind of, they don't want to cover it. I mean, the fact is, they're going to build the wall. They have a steel wall that's already been put up in some places. They're going to build more of it. They got a tremendous amount of money in this bill to do that. And the Democrats are kidding themselves if they think they stopped the wall. The same thing's true on Planned Parenthood. The money that's being allocated does not mention Planned Parenthood. It's going to be administered by Tom Price, and Tom Price is not going to give it to Planned Parenthood. But they're so unable to articulate these things that it really worries me that we're doing more good things than we can explain, and we're getting blamed for things that aren't true that we can't even defend.
Newt Gingrich here on the Laura Ingraham Show. Speaker Gingrich, thank you so much for joining us, as always. Perspective, hard
always
won.
Always great to be with you.
Well,
Laura,
through real experience. You have something called real experience versus the pontificators on television, many of them who've never strategized for anyone, but they're called strategists. Newt, love having you on. Thanks so much. Say hi to Callista. We'll take a break. 855-40-LAURA. A lot more to get to. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.